Vigas turned on his heel. Lock them up. Lock them well. What's that?
Where?
Ahead. 3 o'clock. Just rising up above the tops of the trees. JB stood on tiptoe, straining to see where Ryan had pointed.
Can't see anything.
Ryan grinned at his smaller partner. You'll see it in a minute. Climb higher.
Oh, yeah. See it now. What is... Looks like a hot air balloon.
It is. On a tethered cable so it doesn't fly away. 20 gets you one that it's coming from Wolfram's base. Using it as a floating observation platform. Looking out for us, I guess. Smart idea. JB touched the butt of the Steyr that dangled from its sling across Ryan's shoulders.
One round from that should do the job.
Might have some kind of walkie-talkie going. Time to send a warning before they go down. Don't want them to know where we are. JB shaded his eyes against the bright sun that streamed in from the right side of the track.
What's glinting off the cover of the balloon?
Ryan squinted, taking a few steps to bring himself under the shadow of the tall pines. Think it's got some sort of armor-proof cover on it. Fine titanium steel mesh, maybe. Sort of thing the Magus might have come up with.
Think you're right. At least they won't be able to make us out under here, even with good glasses.
Trouble is, they'll be able to make us out if we move back along any of the trails. We'll have to stick to the heart of the forest, and that'll really slow us down. Fire blast. That's all we needed.
Yeah, but we figured to go in sometime after dark tonight. Should be able to cover the last few miles without too much difficulty. Can't be all that far off now. Do it comfortably before night falls.
As long as the stickies don't come gibbering out of the trees after us.
We got nothing but problems, compadre.
Well, with evil bastards like the Magus and Gert Wolfram, you shouldn't expect them to make it easy for you. Let's keep moving.
It was harder than the armorer had guessed. The pines grew more densely together, making the friends push, bend, and crawl through the soft carpet of needles. The balloon hung there, ahead of them every time they checked, riding about 200 feet high on its cable. They caught the glint of sunlight off binoculars and were able to make out the dim shapes of at least 3 sec men in the reinforced basket. Ryan unslung the Steyr and leveled it from the cover of the forest, peering through the laser image enhancer. He was tempted to open up on the spies in the sky and try to take them out, or even hope to bring down the balloon, but he was able to see the fine protective network of wires that covered the dark green fabric, so he held his fire.
Let's keep moving.
It was well past the middle of the afternoon when JB spotted the cable being wound in, taking the balloon back to Earth.
That makes life a tad easier.
They were now within a mile of where they figured the fortress had to be, and it would have been hard to get closer without one of the Sekmen spotting them, even among the pines. They waited until the balloon had vanished below the tops of the trees. Ryan sat down, his back against a slender ponderosa, and closed his eye. JB joined him on the floor of the forest. He pushed back the fedora as he kept an eye on the woods around them to make sure that there was nothing and nobody moving along the trail. But everywhere was still. They'd seen precious little wildlife during the entire day, which could mean that there were stickies in the area, frightening off all the game with their distinctive raw, foul smell.
Tire down.
I can hear men calling. Faint, ahead of us. Could be sick men tethering the balloon at the fortress. Close enough.
Ryan stood, muscles aching in his back and shoulders.
Could do with a couple of hours' decent rest. Might as well get back on the trail. See what kind of a wreck we can carry out before full dark. Then snatch some sleep before we make our move.
They'll be expecting us.
Of course they will. We know that they know. They know that we know that they know.
Trader used to say that expectation is a sword that can cut both ways.
Ryan stepped carefully back onto the track, seeing more of the marks from the wide tires of 4x4 wags.
Be good to take one of their vehicles.
I'd rather take in a shine to escaping in a balloon. That'd be real traveling in style, wouldn't it? Up, up, and away.
They were less than a mile away, and it took them about a quarter of an hour at a brisk walk before they saw the perimeter sec lights glowing brightly ahead of them. The lights were set on tall watchtowers, and each tower held at least one pair of armed sec men, with light machine guns and Gren launchers. Linking the towers was a high double fence of razor wire, dotted with white porcelain terminals every few yards, showing that it was charged. The two men crouched under cover and took in the defenses of the fortress.
Dark night. What I wouldn't give for a war wagger too and a well-trained crew. Pop the place like a hammer on a ripe melon.
We don't have a wag. So that seems to leave just you and me. You see those two huts?
With the barred windows and the sec men patrolling? Must be there.
Not gonna be easy.
Nope.
Best move back out of the fringe of the lights and do some combat thinking.
JB was staring at the pair of buildings where they figured Mildred and the others were being held prisoner.
Yeah.
The moon had duly put in an appearance, pouring down irregular silver pools in among the patches of deep black shadow under the trees. They sat together in one of the small bright clearings. Using the point of his panga, Ryan sketched a detailed plan of everything they'd seen of the fortified camp, the outer fence and the towers, the Sekmen's barracks, and the block of concrete buildings that they had guessed was where Wolfram and the Magus had their headquarters.
How many men?
Counting those in the towers, the walking dudes, and those who are probably off shift at the moment, it has to be something like 40 or 50. Shit lot of men, and they had a good mix of blasters, revolvers and shotguns.
Remingtons, Colts, and Smith and Wessons. And they all look like they know how to use them.
One of the best trained bunch of sec men I can remember. Did Wolfram have such good people back in the old days?
Ryan grinned, his teeth white in the faint glare of the towered lights.
Funny thing, memory. At times I can't hardly recall what I had for breakfast a couple of days ago. Yet I can remember that expression on the face of a gutshot woman up in the Shens from 25 years ago. Clear as a bell. Yet you asked me about the Fat Man Sec forces when we rode with Trader, and it all seems lost in a fog. I reckon he must have been good, even all the way back then. How do you recall him?
Tough. Not as many men as he's got now. And he and the Magus weren't kind of officially together. Not gonna be that easy, amigo.
You want to take another closer look?
Yeah.
They kept well back in the screen of low bushes, ducking under the branches of the dense wall of spruce that ringed much of the Forestville. They watched while the guards changed over, presumably ready for the night shift, and saw supper being taken on trays to the couple of barred huts where they were almost certain that Christy and the others were being held captive.
Doesn't look too strong. Blow away the bars or going through the doors.
Sec men everywhere. Can I borrow your rifle?
JB used the starlight night scope for a better view.
Maybe try and set up some sort of diversion.
Magus and Wolfram will be expecting us to try something like that.
Well, it'll have to be good, won't it?
The camp had a rear entrance, and the evening patrol that came out through the high gates took Ryan and JB by surprise. There were a dozen sec men, all in camouflage gear, faces darkened, moving out at a sudden, fast trot. They headed along a snaking trail that would lead them almost directly to the point where the two friends had been skulking.
Fireblast!
Ryan tugged at JB's sleeve, jerking him away from the track. It was almost pitch dark, and they stumbled along by instinct, trying for silence. JB took the lead as Ryan stopped a moment to glance behind them, peering through the undergrowth toward the lights, seeing that the Sekmen were barely 50 yards away, moving almost parallel to himself and JB. JB clutched at his lower leg, where a massive man trap had clamped shut on him. Ryan flung himself down on top of his oldest friend, holding on to the slim figure, his right hand fumbling for JB's open mouth.
Hang on, I'll get it off you. As soon as the patrol's gone by.
Ryan felt JB's head nod. He risked a glance up, aware of the risk of the filtered lights from the fortress camp, picking out the pallor of his face among the trees. The patrol was moving at a slow walk, covering both sides of the narrow trail to the south, weapons at the hip. As the men moved through the dappled moonlight, their skillfully camouflaged clothing made them occasionally invisible. They were fully on the alert, their heads turning from side to side, seeking the fugitives, Ryan and JB, not knowing that they were lying within 20 feet of them. Ryan pressed his face into the dirt, straining his hearing. Beneath him, he was aware of JB's pounding heart as he fought against the crushing pain of the serrated teeth of the man-trap. Finally, Ryan risked another glance. The trail was deserted.
They gone?
I think so. We gotta be quick. Could be back here any time. How is it?
Oh, bad.
Broken?
I can't tell. Numb. Caught me just above the ankle. Top of my boot might have saved the worst of it.
Well, best take a look at it.
Help me sit straight.
Ryan slid an arm around his friend, feeling him trembling. JB reached for his right hand and gripped it tightly.
Oh, it pains me. Knew that if I cried out, we were lost.
You'll be fine. Sit still now. Can you let go of my hand so I can take a good look at the problem?
Sure. Be all right. Gonna take some work to ease open that spring.
Ryan moved sideways so that his own shadow no longer fell on the man trap.